Who's Sunday school? The children. Yeah, we'll ask them why they come. Sister Noella, is she here today? She testified, and it was a very good testimony she gave. And I just want to testify why they come. I had a lump here in my hand, and it was very painful. Now, you know, these lumps, they can be cancerous. And when we went to these meetings, I'd been praying for it for a long time. It wasn't going. I couldn't even clap my hands. It was so painful. And when we were in the meeting, I like Brad Tim Pruitt says, sometimes you can have a little cancerous mole, and you just say in the name of the Lord. And you rebuke it. You see, I know to some, because you don't have it, you might think, ah, what? You see, but to me, the way that thing disappeared was amazing. Amen. And I really thank God for that. When Sister Noella testified on Friday, it really touched me, and I said, hey, I was complaining to the pastor on our way there and saying, but they have so many testimonies, and I'm writing a lot of, well, I've written one with the help of Sister Nachis, and I'm encouraging other saints, because I really want to make a booklet of testimonies. Amen. You see, so we must testify. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Amen.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our show. Today we are going to show you a play. So let's start with The Woman of the Well. Hope you enjoy.
In him will become a fountain springing into everlasting life.
Sir, give me this water that I may not come here to thou or come here with test.
Go, call your husband and come here.
I have no husband.
You have well said I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one who you have now is not your husband.
Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet.
Woman, believe me, the hour is coming, and now is. When you shall not worship neither in Jerusalem nor the mountain, you know not what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
I know that Messiah, when he comes, he will tell us all things.
I who speak to you am he.
Amen.
What do you seek? Why is the king in a hurry? Come see a man who told me all things I did.
Could this be the Messiah?
Rabbi, join us. Come and eat.
My food is to do the will of the Father.
Many Samaritans had followed Jesus. They wanted him to stay, but after 2 days, he didn't.
To the well walked a woman.
Yeah.
I was praying yesterday because everyone I write something for the Lord. And I was listening. Messages. Few of them, some of them from last year, from the church. And one kind of inspired me. One kind of spoke to me and said, "Lord, let me put a few words." And I prayed to God to help me because, you know, sometimes you can just sit and just, you know, write and not this. But then when I sit down, I have like 40 minutes, and I just keep writing, and that's the way I like it because it's maybe it's not me. Try to produce this. It's just, I can feel it's from the Lord. So this poem, it's a little bit different. So I hope you see. And the poem is about me. So I don't know. Some people, some saints could think that. But no. This poem from beginning to the end, it's about me. So please keep it in that kind of way. Okay. For the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to say today about the little guy. Sometimes you can see him when you laugh or even smile. It helps with my words coming out from my mouth. It helps me when I praise God and when I shout. I can use him to speak about the Lord and ask him for forgiveness when I do faults. Helps me to praise his name. And when I'm doing this and never sin, it helps me when I pray. Even when I feel I have not much to say, helps me to greet my sister, my brother. Helps me when I want to speak to my Heavenly Father. This little thing helps me to say I'm sorry, and to others when they do me wrong, don't worry. Helps me to testify in the streets. Helps me to ask others for sweets. Can speak things to existence. Can help others to see that Bible makes sense. But it's not always that way. About this little thing I want to say today. It's going quicker than machine gun. Can destroy all kinds of fun. It's going quicker than eye blink. Usually speaks without even think. Even when you had a blessing week, use wrong can make God feel sick. With his help on Sunday, you can praise our Father. And on Monday, destroy all by gossiping about your brother. I can pray in my room upstairs and after speak against my sister. I can say amen in church, feeling that I can break. I can say amen in church, feeling that I break every devil's wall and even more. And on Monday, speak against God's servants, against the pastor. Being a Christian every day is my God. But with this thing, I can condemn my soul. With this little thing, I can stop church to be in one accord. If I give in this to devil as a sword, I could carry on and make this poem long, but I would like to finish saying that is a power in that little thing we call tongue.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You just sing that chorus and one more song. Well, if time permits, we still have two more. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah, oh, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, oh, Hosanna, oh, Hosanna, oh, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh. Amazed by Brother Eli, his ministry. And I seen it once when we were in what's Brother Mike's place. I remember Brother Eli speaking, and I remember saying, "Hey, Brother, he speaks very well," because he spoke some words there. You know, we see Brother Max's ministry, we see the pastor, we see wonderful things happening. But one thing I want to encourage: in your sphere, like the prophet says, stay in your field. Sister Lillian, she seems to have put down a gift. It's a provoke, because she's got a lot of talent. I've seen it with my eyes. Our sister, Rashelton's wife, Sister Susan, so many songs. She has so many. She's more organized than me. But let's stir up that gift amongst us. Let's keep writing the songs. You know, let's see, because we don't realize what we have when we hear the saints singing. Imagine if we heard Sister Lillian has very powerful songs. Sister Susan and Sister Nachiza, many people. We don't even know some of the talent that is here. Amen. So let's continue. Let's not give up. Amen. This is to us. Spiritual astronauts, you have the power. Dynamics now abide in the control tower. God's church in position, she's ready for orders. The Holy Ghost feeds us, we at the end. People lost in sin and shame or dying. Once more he cries, who will I say? Oh, it's the countdown, it's the countdown. I said the Lord, we at the end. Are you ready for an astronomical takeoff? Oh, through the seven, keep pressing on. Ephesus, Ephesus, through the line, we send the movies on. Hey, through the life, stay with the time. A channel where demon powers are screaming. They're pressing in the hearts of man and self-will. This battle at a higher level continues still. Are we spiritual astronauts seeking afar, searching for the lost, you shining stars? Oh, it's the countdown, it's the countdown. I said the Lord, we are the end. Are you ready for an astronomical takeoff? Oh, through the seven, keep pressing on. Ephesus, Ephesus, through the loud, easier the movies on. Fade through the love, stay with the dark. Science looks back for its achievements to see what God has done in creation. Original estate, the natural man, now he's on shaky ground. Spiritual astronauts always looks forward, onward gazing into God's word. Oh, it's a countdown, it's the countdown. I said the Lord be at the end. Are you ready for an astronomical takeoff? Oh, through the seven, keep pressing on. Ephesus, through the loud, he's here, the movie's on. Fade through the love, stay with the dark. Wesley, one of God's great scientists. Luther strove, casting away blindness. Against the church, they were faithful servants. Luther cried, the just shall live by faith. Chemically putting the word of God in its place. Wesley proved, by blood we sanctify. Oh, it's the countdown, it's the countdown. I said the Lord be at the end. Are you ready for an astronomical takeoff? Oh, through the seven, keep pressing on. If it's just through the loud, he's here, the movie's on. Fade through the lost, stay with the dark. All the right brothers took man to the end. Pentecost went higher beyond earthly sphere. Now the church can climb higher than ever, beyond dreams, doubts, and all our fears. The deep in man, how it just propels out. All things are possible, you just believe. Oh, it's a countdown, it's a countdown.
give the glory at the end. Are you ready for an astronomical journey called? Whoa, through the seven, keep pressing on. Ephesus through the love, we see the movies on. Fade through the locks, they will be done. Last verse. Natural astronaut has something to control him. Radar moves him round, shows him where he's at. A spiritual astronaut has the power deep within. It's the Holy Ghost, the dynamics that's driving him. The seven church ages has already counted out. Jesus calls his bride out with a shout. Whoa, it's a countdown. It's a countdown. I said the Lord be at the end. Are you ready for an astronomical takeoff? Whoa, through the seven, keep pressing on. Ephesus, Ephesus through the loud, it's here the movie's on. Fade through the locks, stay with the God. Ephesus, Ephesus through the loud, it's here the movie's on. Fade through the locks, stay with the God. Fade through the locks, you stay with the God.
Lord, I remember Calvin.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Max, you want to lead us with that song? Because Brother Max has a congregational song for all of us to sing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the day would have ended well. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah, this morning when we were just on the road coming, one of my children just started in some praises and worship. And one really touched my heart because it is well.
Say to God, yeah, go out.
Starts from the spiritual realm first.
Amen.
Set it right in the spiritual realm and it'll unfold itself into the natural realm.
Amen.
That's why you will first have faith, and then faith, like the song says, we long for the day where faith becomes sight.
Amen.
You know, it always starts in the spiritual realm. If you can get things clear spiritually, the natural will take care of itself. It'll unfold itself. Let's remember Sister Shida in prayer. She's not well. She's unable to attend the service. And also, Sister Leah, we're saying thank you, saints, for all the love and care towards my father.
Amen.
He traveled safely to Slovakia. Let's open up Revelation chapter 5, saints. We appreciate the Sunday school, the singing, the items, testimonies.
Amen.
We will continue to do this work. Let's read Revelation 5. Let's read the first 7 verses. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereon. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on it.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word.
Amen.
We thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to gather in your name.
Amen.
Father, so we hang on you. Father, nothing good can come from man. But Father, every word that you say, Father, it achieves its purpose.
Amen.
Father, your word is life. Your word is bread. Your word, Father, is overcoming power. Your word is all that you need. So won't you bless your people upon this day? Won't you overshadow each of us? Father, Lord, just come. Lord, with thy great wings that you came down to even, Lord. Father, brood, we pray. And Father, bring forth something good upon this day. Praying for the visitors in our gates, Lord. Praying for them that may, Lord, know you. Father, commit into your hands. Lord, bless your people gathering to the north, south, east, and west as well. Father, have the preeminence in the midst of your people. Let your blood speak on our behalf upon this day. Wash us, Lord, where we sin, every trespass, every transgression, anything that will stand between us and you. And help us, Lord, to break beyond the veil upon this day. Father, meeting your mercy, each and every one of us upon this day. That, Father, Lord, there may be a great spiritual transaction. That you will speak and that you will transform us, Lord. And that your will be good done. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Saints, you may be seated. Revelation 5. We know it's the breach. Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Because we've just come from events on earth, if you read the book of Revelation. that come from the church ages. So there's this little interlude which comes for a couple of chapters, where now things are taken from what's happening on earth, taken to what's happening in heaven. And then once we come down from the breach again, we come down back to things that are happening on earth, right the way to Revelation 19, that folding of things. So, you know, there's always a reason for these kind of things. Everything has a purpose. That's one thing which you find in the Word of God, is that everything is so particular and everything is so perfect. You find when Jesus took the scroll that day, yeah, in the temple, and he read Isaiah 61 and he stopped in the middle of the verse. No, he was very precise in what he read, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives, the acceptable year of the Lord."
Amen.
And then he stopped in the middle of the sentence, he closed the book, and he says, "This day the scriptures fulfilled." And then you find in our age now is the remainder of the sentence, to preach the day of the vengeance of our God. You know, so the Word is very, very precise in the way that it does things. And sometimes you can find in a gap in a scripture like that, you can find 2,000 years in between a gap. And we're in Switzerland, Brother Johnny Reagan, to those who listen to the messages, he was showing it so clearly how, you know, from creation in the beginning, when God spoke and said, "Let there be," and there was the heavens and the earth, to the time that it came to Eden, in between verse 1 of Genesis 1 and verse 2, there may have been billions of years. And he was taking all the different quotes showing that God, he spoke, created the heavens and the earth. And then it unfolds itself in this great silence. There's so much that takes place in the midst between two verses in the Bible.
Amen.
You know, that God hides from us. He doesn't show us his hidden purpose. He doesn't show us his hidden counsel. He doesn't explain to us his ages gone by. He doesn't explain to us, like he was showing the different things when Brother Charlie Cox came to the prophet and found that little fossil in the driveway when they're digging up the driveway, and said, "Brother Brown, you know, how old would this be?" And the prophet said, "That could be millions, tens of millions of years old." You know, and if you really think of that, is that God, in his great economy, there's certain things that he does and he just seals it in silence. Because it's really got nothing to do with us. And we as human beings are so inquisitive, wanting to know, you know, why this, or how does this fit and how does that fit? The Bible says the hidden things belong to God. Yeah? But the things that he reveals to us, those things belong to us and to our children. So there's certain things that are really important. There's certain things that he wants us to know, and those are the things that you really need to focus upon.
Amen. Amen.
There's so many other things, friends, that you will never understand until the Lord comes. There's so many things in the Word that don't pertain to us.
Amen.
The prophet wanted to preach on the trumpets, and he sets aside 7 days for the meetings. He keeps wondering, why can't we get a hold? Why is everything not working the way that it should? He thought the trumpets would come forth the same as the seals. And then he says they kept messing around the arrangements. They kept saying, "No, you can't have the consecutive days." He says, "So I went in before the Lord. And I prayed sincerely. And I said, 'Lord, I don't understand. Why is this not working?' Then the Lord came and revealed to him, 'The trumpets are not for you. The trumpets are for the Jews.'"
Amen.
And somebody said that when you were there, saying, imagine what it's going to be when Moses and Elijah come.
Amen.
And they take that portion of scripture in their Jew season.
Amen.
And they preach that to the Jews.
Amen.
I don't know who mentioned, but it was really quite a good thought. It says that you'll find when Moses and Elijah come and preach Christ to the 144,000. And then they realize that they've crucified their Messiah, that they've rejected their Messiah. The first thing the 144,000 are going to do is they're going to weep and lament over their kindred, their mothers and fathers and all the peoples of the past. And then Moses and Elijah are going to come now with that fifth seal. And they're going to reveal to them, no, they were blinded. It wasn't for them, they were given white robes. And then they're going to say, but what about the Holocaust? And what about all the cruel things that happened to Israel and the Hitler and so forth? And then under the trumpets, that's going to be revealed to them. Those things had to take place to drive you back to the homeland. Not to bring things into their place and their condition. So God's revelation is seasonal. You know, until God's time of revealing something, he locks it up. He hides things inside of his Word. You and I know what it's like. You may be seeking for something from the Lord. Seeking a promise from the Lord. You can read it in the Word, but it's not active to you yet. It's not like quickened to you yet. That there's a certain season and a certain time, and that which was hidden to you, or that which you only understood in part, there's a certain time when it's his due season, that he quickens and makes that thing known.
Amen.
And he has a purpose in doing that. Because he has a time, he has a season, he knows why he should do it at a certain time. And friends, before that time and before that season, we can guess at things,
yes.
We can try to understand things,
yes.
We can try to use all of our human knowledge, all of our own human understanding, put all of our human effort in. But if it's not yet God's time, it's not God's time.
Amen.
And that's what's caused so much of the Christian world. Even in the bride, where people see promises there, and they know certain things should take place. And what do? You know, we don't see that some of these things, the problem is, we're waiting for things to catch up. Remember, look at Jesus when he says, you know, the third pool is amongst us. He says it's identified itself. He says, but it's not going to be used in any great way until that council begins to take place.
Yes, sir.
He says, because Revelation 13 says, America must speak as the dragon. Yeah, we've got to have the beast rise up from the land. She's got to speak like the dragon. She's got to speak like Rome. So the prophet says, so things will go quiet for a little season, waiting for things to catch up. No, waiting for the season and the time that God has appointed now to intersect with the promise that he made for that season.
Hallelujah.
And then, friends, there's not enough devils in hell at that time. Just not God's promises, not being fulfilled.
That's right.
And that's why the Bible says, a word in season. How good it is.
Amen.
But there's something about something in the right season. Somebody was speaking to me the other day, and they were trying to testify to somebody and said certain things. And they said, but I told that person the truth. And I said, you may have told them the truth, but the prophet says, when
yes,
you
sir.
Do service for God, there's five musts.
Amen.
The first thing, it must be the right time.
Yes.
It must be the right season.
That's
you
right.
can tell someone truth, but if it's not the right season, it doesn't help that person.
That's right.
No, you've got to have the five musts. It must be the right person. It must be scriptural. And God must vindicate it. We know the five musts. So sometimes we find, why is something not kicking in at a certain time? Why is something not just working the way that we think that it should work? Is God has his time and he has his season.
That's right.
And until that time, he seals things up. You know, he's got a sacred seal upon his divine program, the works of redemption. And he is the only one that can unseal it. Because when he locks, no man can open it.
Hallelujah.
And when he closes a door, my friend, you might try to open that door. You might try to be like Joseph, like you said the other week in prison. Yeah. And you say, but it's taking too long. I've been in here too long. And what you do, you try to use human instrumentality. You go now and you lean on the arm of flesh and you say to the butler, please, no, remember me when you come out of this place. Go and tell Pharaoh about me. I've done nothing wrong. And the Bible says, the butler forgot it. And that's what it is, friends. If something's not yet in its time. But when Pharaoh was ready, when there was the need for a man by the name of Joseph, when everything had wound up, the prophet speaks of the great gears of God's great economy. When everything struck that midnight hour in God's economy, you couldn't keep Joseph in there.
Hallelujah!
Nothing is going to keep him in there.
Amen.
But God had him in there for a purpose. And then in the due season, the same one who had put him there was the same one who took him out.
That's right.
And that's the principle of the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
But us in our haste many times, in our impatience, and often in our unbelief. No, we can't wait for his appointed way. We can't wait for his appointed time. So what do we start doing now? We start getting ourselves involved. And the moment we start getting involved in it, we'll see it from Revelation chapter 5. The things of redemption, God's purposes, no man was able to take the book. No man was even able to look upon the book. And God's mystery of redemption is so sealed up inside of him. Not so much in his control, it's so much in his hand that he's the only one that can open that. And that's what we find in the breach as we start looking at Revelation chapter 5. Now we find this great breach. We find something happening in heaven. And what's happening there? We see a book in the right hand of him that's sitting upon this throne. And what is this book? We know what it is. The prophet speaking in the breach. He gives us a real good principle. And it's something which really, really blessed me. When you read the seal, is your and my inheritance as the sons and daughters of God. Yeah. If you trace it all the way back, if you have a look at this book that's in his hand, this is the title deed to your inheritance and to my inheritance.
Amen.
Everything in redemption that God has proposed for us to have, Your entire inheritance as a son and daughter of God, including eternal life, yet including dominion and authority, including your position in Christ, including the world to come. Yeah, all of these things, God Himself proposed these things to be the inheritance of His children, right from the beginning. And right from the beginning, we see that Adam, he had this inheritance in his possession.
Amen.
Of all the human beings, Adam was the only one, apart from the second Adam, who had that full inheritance. Amen. He had this in his possession.
Amen.
And if you think what it must have been like, I don't know who was preaching about it there, but they were preaching about what it must have been like in Eden. Now you think when Adam had this unbroken communion with that dimension in which God was, there was no veil between Adam and God.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said it while they said, "No, we're looking forward to the day that we can pray, that we can worship God, and we don't need a blood veil between us and God, because now there's a veil between us and God. Now it's faith and the supernatural that declares itself from the other side of the veil." But there was no veil in that way when Adam had this inheritance in Eden. And Adam, we know all the dominion that he had, the authority that he had. We know this was put into his hands by his father. Because this is what God had proposed for his child, his children to have. Now, when Adam sinned, when Adam fell, in the breach, you'll find the prophet speaks of it and says, Adam sold out to wisdom. Yeah? Now, it wasn't actually Adam that sold out to wisdom, it was Eve that sold out to wisdom.
Yes.
But the prophet speaking about mankind. When Eve now listened to the reasoning of the devil, of the serpent, the devil speaking through the serpent, and she swallowed something. She took something which wasn't the spoken word of God. She took something which wasn't the original. That brought a fall in. And when she fell now, when she fell because of this, which she hearkened to this wisdom of the devil, of the serpent, it was now presented to Adam. And that's the great, great thing in the Garden of Eden is, you know, Adam, as somebody said there as well, was in the image of God. When this decision was brought to him, when Eve now came defiled, when Eve had fallen now, and this now came before Adam, and Adam now had to make this decision in the garden what he was going to do. Imagine Adam knowing all things. Now, Adam knew exactly what it meant, the situation that came about with Eve. He knew that I'm going to make a choice.
I might.
Of the greatness of his love. His love was so great for Eve that when he weighed things up and he looked at his love for Eve and he looked at the title deed, he looked at his inheritance. He looked at the inheritance not just for himself, but this inheritance that was given to Adam was to be handed down to all the sons and daughters of God. So Adam, knowing exactly what would take place, he knew he was going to, by taking Eve's sin upon himself, he was going to forsake this great inheritance. And he knew that he was sending us down the river as well. The he knew by doing this himself, by choosing his wife over his inheritance, he knew what was going to come.
Yeah.
And ever since that decision was made, every man is born of woman. A man that is born of woman is born in sin. A man that is born of woman is a few days of many troubles, the Bible says. And every generation is getting weaker and getting wiser and partaking more and more of the tree of knowledge, more and more of the tree of knowledge. You know, but God is great. Is that if God has proposed something inside of himself, if he has an inheritance for his sons and daughters, there's nothing going to stop that inheritance coming back.
Amen.
You know, Satan may come in, the Lord may give him his opportunity, may give him a space of time, and we know it from when we were there, why God did that.
Amen.
The reason the Lord allowed iniquity in Lucifer, the reason he allowed Lucifer, Satan, to fall to the earth and paralyze the earth, and all the things that this earth has gone through, the reason that God allowed sin to come, it was twofold. So that God could reveal who he is to his children.
Yeah.
And so that God could reveal who he is to the devil. That at the end of it all, God has revealed who he is. And Brother Johnny preached such a masterpiece when he was there, showing how when sin, God allowed Lucifer to fall and sin to paralyze the earth. And it's like the Lord was saying to the devil, there we are. you show what you can do. You want to be like me. You think you're co-equal with me. Okay, here's a barren wasteland. You go and make it into something.
Amen.
There's nothing that Satan could do.
Yes.
Because Satan can only pervert.
Amen.
He can only deform. Satan cannot create.
Amen.
Satan cannot resurrect.
Amen.
Satan cannot restore.
Amen.
There's nothing that he can do down that line.
Yes.
All of the great attributes of God are positive attributes.
Amen.
But his redemptive attributes, God will take somebody who's so low in sin, and God will raise them up and make them.
Hallelujah! Amen.
That's the attributes of God.
Amen.
Satan will take someone from church, someone that used to sing in the choir.
My.
Take that person and put them right down in the gutter. Mm. Yeah. You look at Whitney Houston.
Mm.
Very sad story. Mm. Someone who grew up singing in the choir. Mm. Someone who grew up in the gospel way.
My.
I remember reading an interview when she first started her worldly singing. They asked her when she went on her first tour. They said, how do you spend your time when you're on tour? She said, I spend my time in my hotel room praying and reading my Bible. But friend, it doesn't stay like that, because when you give the devil a foothold in your life, he doesn't just keep it as a foothold. When you allow sin, when you allow unbelief, when you allow that avenue inside of your life, he doesn't stop.
Yes, sir.
He's merciless. He'll keep taking more. And she, I'm sure, when she met Bobby Brown and got involved, started getting involved in the things that she was, I'm sure she never dreamed that she'd get herself involved in some of the things that she got herself involved in. To give herself over to drugs, to sing the kind of music that she ended up singing, to live that kind of a lifestyle. But that's all that Satan can do.
Yes, sir.
He can take what God has made,
yeah,
and he perverts it.
Hallelujah.
He has the power of deformation.
Yes.
God has the power of transformation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If God can take the least thing, something which just seems completely gone, the Lord speaks of that seed that falls into the earth. Yeah, and it falls in there in the autumn time. And it lays there, and that seed lies there and rots. And you are looking at all outward appearances, you will say, this is dead and buried.
Yes.
And then winter comes and the snow covers that seed.
Mm.
And the ground is hard through frost.
Mm.
And that seed freezes there in the snow. And you will look and say, it's gone. There's no hope. And the voice will say, son of man, can these dry bones live?
Yes.
And to all outward appearances, it can't live. But God has put a life principle in the soul.
Amen.
God has put a life principle inside of you.
Amen.
And all that it needs is the right time.
Hallelujah.
All that it needs is the right season.
Hallelujah.
All that it needs is the right atmosphere.
Yes.
Amen. It just needs to get itself aligned once again correctly with the sun.
Amen.
The life-giving resources,
amen,
of the sun. And it doesn't matter how long it's been down there.
Amen.
You're going to find there's going to be a restoration.
Amen.
You're going to find that seed is going to come up once again.
Amen.
And that's how it is with the sons and daughters of God. That's why God doesn't mind the head start he gives to them. To some people, he'll allow the devil to have 30 years head start in the life of a person. A person will be born in a godless home. They'll smoke from when they're young because their parents smoke. Their parents will encourage them to drink alcohol in the home. You know what it is, some parents they do.
That's right.
They allow their children to drink while they're sitting there drinking. That person will be born in a godless atmosphere. Absolutely. They'll go to a godless school, have godless friends. But friend, if God has ordained life to be, if God has ordained an inheritance for that person,
hallelujah,
if God has set their heart upon that person, if that person came from God, that person's going to
be. Amen.
It doesn't matter how much head start, it doesn't matter what the devil can do.
Hallelujah.
The Lord will say to the devil, the same as he said with Job, you can do anything you want, but you can't take your life. Because life belongs to God.
Amen.
The lives of his sons and daughters belongs to him. And that person will get involved in the most evil type of music. They'll defile their bodies in all manner of wickedness. They'll put tattoos, they'll put earrings on parts of the body which you wouldn't even want to display public. A person will get so, the music they'll listen to, you'll think, but this person, how can a person, this is insanity, this kind of a music, listening to this kind of a thing.
The Lord will just be standing back. And the devil will have his day. And you'll be thinking like you did with Job, I've got this one. This one's gone too far. This one's gone too low. This one's been imprinted too much by my kingdom. My friend said to me, here's one thing. The soul is not the divinity of the devil.
No.
Souls belong to the Ghost. And locked up, waiting for the activation at the right time is a soul. It's a seed inside of the soul.
Amen.
And all God has to do, just it's so simple. God just has to speak.
Amen.
All that the devil has done will start to unroll itself in the life of the
Yes, sir.
Everything that is done, just when God speaks into the that's powerful, right? The same brother Donnie was saying when he was there, he says, no, in the ages gone past, whenever that it was, in between the beginning and the time that God started to work in Eden, you know, when his sin struck the world, and whatever took place, our friend, but when Satan was given an opportunity, he knows how to deform things. You know, and the Lord said to him, go ahead, bring something forth. And he gave him plenty of time. Friend, they say that the Big Bang was 13 billion years ago. That's what they say. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But that sure is a long time. And if you say to the devil, okay, you think you're like me, take your time. Bring forth something from this. And there's darkness upon the face of the deep. And he just looked and he said, this is just confusion and this is just chaos. And the devil, he had his turn. He had his day. And the way he dramatized it was so great. Then finally the Lord said, it's enough. Sit down.
Amen.
And God just spoke.
Amen.
Amen. Things started to come.
Hallelujah.
Out of that disorder, there came an order.
Amen.
Out of that confusion, there came something beautiful.
Amen.
Out of that darkness that was upon the face of the sea, all that it needed was God to brood. Just the anointed one, the Spirit of the living God came and brooded over the earth. And there was an atmosphere, and the prophet says, and he started to make love to the earth. And he started to speak to the earth. And the earth now started to respond.
Hallelujah.
And the seed that was already in the earth started now to bring forth when the light fell upon him. And then he gave a good example that, I don't know, I can't remember the facts and the figures, but he says, how many species or types of flowers that we have? Do you know how many types of flowers there are? There's far more than you believe. And then Brother Johnny started to speak how many types of animals there are, insects that we have. And this is even just roses. There's thousands of different types of roses. There's millions of different species of butterfly. And this is, why would God do that? Why would God just not make one type of butterfly?
Hallelujah.
That's a simple answer. God wanted to show that he can.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You deformed all of this, but let me show you what I can do.
Amen.
I mean, God spoke, he didn't just bring for the one type of butterfly. You go and see the great variety. Go look at the variety of flowers.
Amen.
Have a look at the abundance that's out there. And then he was speaking about so many species already extinct. Maybe man never even knew much about that. But God was just showing who he is.
Amen.
God is just showing the power of his word.
Amen.
God is just showing that when it's his time, things are going to change and things are going to come forward. And that's what Adam had in the beginning. Adam had that dominion. And I think Brother Tim Pruitt was saying it about that. That dominion that he had, it was governed by divine love.
Hallelujah.
There was an atmosphere there. There was an atmosphere of divine love. Our friend. And that makes all the difference, because whatever's going to come forth from our life, it depends on that atmosphere.
Amen.
It's the atmosphere that makes a difference. The world, that one and sin moved in, all the elements were the same, but the atmosphere had changed. The atmosphere had changed from that divine love, from that faith, from that resting. And what had it become? It became something was brought into disorder that we see now. Once unbelief came in. But Adam had that all under his control. But when Adam sinned, the great thing about it is the dominion and the authority and the inheritance never went to the devil. Never. God will never allow the inheritance of his children. The devil has no part to play in those things. It says there that the book where it was not went back into the hands of him that was seated upon the throne.
Amen.
The title deed, the inheritance, it went back to the original owner. So when man falls, man forfeits the right to this great inheritance. Oh, friend, God doesn't use it.
No. Amen.
He takes it back to himself.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he's seated on the throne. Yeah? And he's got it in his right hand. Mm. And what is he doing? He's waiting for redemption.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he's got the plan of redemption. Amen. Friend, God will never trust anything to do with his sons and daughters to anybody else except for himself.
Mm. That's right.
No, that's why it says salvation is of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Your soul, your life, your destiny. Like the brother was saying, he says, who is the angel of the Lord?
Mm.
The angel of the Lord is God coming down as his own messenger.
Amen.
You find in Eden, wow, God came down himself. God would never trust redemption. God would never trust anything to do with the souls of his sons and his daughters to anybody else except for himself.
Amen.
That's the work that he alone,
amen,
gives himself over. So God himself comes down in the garden. You know, he gives them a temporary redemption, clothes them with skins, and he drives them out of the garden. But there was a provision there.
Mm.
He commissioned those cherubim. He said to those cherubim, guard the way to the tree of life. That's great, friend.
Amen.
You know, it's like a believer. You might have a failure, or you might have something where there's a setback. But a believer will never fully give up.
Amen.
God will never allow it like that. He says the masterpiece family fell in the garden. He says the enemy came in under the wall and he caused that masterpiece family to fall. He says, but God wouldn't believe it that way. So he got to work straight away to bring about a restoration. And then he speaks about in the cruelty of sin, how he clothed them now in skins and he sent them forth from the garden. And he said, the prophet says, and I can see. She has Eve, and she's leaning on the shoulder of Adam, and she's weeping. Yeah. And he says, and I can see the tears coming down, and the tears are mixing with the blood of the sacrifice. You know, and I can see the blood going down the legs and dripping down the legs. And looked hopeless, friends. It looked hopeless. They were being taken out of the inheritance. This great inheritance that had been given to them. Adam had forfeited. But the prophet says, but I can see, just in that darkest of hours, just when Adam and Eve were leaving the garden, he says, it's as if God stopped them and said, no, wait. Yeah. I'll give you the seed of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See, he always gives a provision. And I believe that with a believer as well. No matter what situation that you are, Paul said, we may be cast down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair.
That's right.
We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken.
Amen.
But there's something about that in the life of a believer. You know that things might be like this for now, but let him get to work.
Let's
see what he can bring out of this situation. And that's a great thing about a believer. No matter what the doctor says, that's never the final word. The doctor may say it's gone worse and it's gone worse. There's nothing more that I can do. But in the soul of a believer, there's something inside of it that you're waiting to say. But what does Father have to say about this? Yes, we respect what you say, but what is God saying about this situation? And that's what it is. He always has the final word. So when this title deed, this inheritance went forfeited by Adam, it went back into the hands of humanity. And what is his heart set upon? The heart's purpose of Job is redemption. Those are his greatest, we've seen it before, God's greatest attributes are his redemptive attributes. He has other attributes. He has attributes of power. He's Elohim. He can speak. He can create universes and galaxies, put stars in their place. He knows them by name. And those are powerful attributes, friends. But the attributes within himself that really make us love him, the ones that transform us, are his redemptive attributes.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Those are the ones where those personal attributes, the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. When there's a need and he comes in and he ministers that redemptive name and a need, that revelation of who he is in those seven redemptive names
That completely transformed the person's
life. Amen.
Friends, you can see God creating the heavens and the earth. People came in the prayer line. They saw people getting out of wheelchairs. They saw missing limbs. They saw eyes being created. And they still never went on with God. Now, those are powerful things. Those are powerful attributes of God. But it's the personal redemptive work. It's now when he gets closer home. Remember once before we saw that, you know, Elohim and his creation, he created the heavens and the earth. But we are his new creation.
Amen.
You are a new creation. This is Jehovah's creation.
Hallelujah.
This is his redemption.
Amen.
And friend, this is the one that really shows forth his glory. No, for us to really know who he is, or what the heart of God really is. Remember once we said it before, and the angels, when they saw God creating the heavens and the earth, they sing holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
In his presence, they cover their faces. Because of his majesty. They just sing holy, holy, holy. Then when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and God came down, it was different. When the angels sinned, God cast them out, reserved them unto chains of darkness forever.
Amen.
But when his son and his daughter sinned with them fell in the Garden of Eden, all of a sudden, all of creation saw something unveiling itself from Jehovah, from God.
Amen.
They've never seen before.
Amen.
They've never seen his attributes before.
Hallelujah.
When the angels fell, when they rebelled, God declared war against them. There was war in heaven. Michael was in his angels fought with the devil. They were cast out. But when there was a rebellion in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered in, God came down as the seeking shepherd.
Amen.
He came down, Adam, where art thou? The angel had never seen that before. All since the beginning of time. God had never before gone to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
That was Jehovah's Savior, the attributes of Jehovah's Savior. And those are the real attributes that when God created the angels, he knew iniquity is going to rise up. So inside of his bosom, this real redemptive purpose, this real inheritance, this real revelation of who he was and what he wanted to be to his children, what he wanted his children to be, he kept these inside of himself. And the angels fell, and those things stayed inside.
Amen.
So you find that when sin came in, or when iniquity came in, rebellion in heaven, this heart's purpose, this like mystery of redemption, this something which is so precious to Jehovah himself, something so personal, he kept it sealed in himself.
Amen.
And the angels felt that it stayed sealed inside of himself. He would never reveal that.
Mm.
And then now when his son and his daughter fell in Eden, we started to see a partial unveiling of this.
Hallelujah.
We started to see things coming forth from Jehovah. We started to see a particular anointing. We started to see a particular visitation. God starts putting gifts inside of him and raises up prophets. You know, God now makes a tabernacle and says, look, I want to dwell in the midst of my people. And in all of these shadows and types, God is starting to partially reveal this mystery of redemption.
Amen.
This purpose that he has proposed inside of himself, the prophecies of Christ, the mystery, which he's going to do.
Hallelujah.
And as time goes on, you know, he has his son Israel. And Israel sins against him. God sends prophets down as a father that cries out to them, warns them, and when they do want to listen out to the chastisement of the word, he gives them over to punishment in Babylon. Gives them over to the Syrians and so forth. You know, he allows enemies to rise up and he chastises his son and he corrects his children. And you can see all through the Old Testament, though many people say, you know, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New. It's not true. Because Jehovah of the Old is Jesus of the
New.
He just changed his mask, he just changed his
dispensation.
But you can see it in the burden of the word of the Lord upon the prophets in the Old Testament.
Amen.
The way that God would burden the prophets to go and cry out to his children.
Yes.
His natural seed Israel. They would cry out. The Bible says in Chronicles says, He sent prophets to them, rising bee times, rising up early, sending messengers to them, warning them, calling them to come back. And they rejected the prophets and they stoned them that God sent. until there was no remedy. And God sent them into captivity. But with God, it's never finished. He never casts his children off forever. There's always a time when we say,
Hallelujah!
What's the purpose of the captivity?
Thank you, Lord.
Because, friends, his heart is tied together with the heart of his children. Remember when Joseph had them in captivity, when he put the other brothers in the prison. And then he said, okay, you need to bring your younger brother Benjamin. And I think it was Simeon, whoever it was, who interceded with Joseph and said, please, if you take away this young boy from the father, it'll kill it. Because his heart is
Hallelujah!
Our friend, and if you and I could just realize how much his great life
Hallelujah.
Is tied up in us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
His heart's purpose from the beginning of time, he wants to reveal himself in and through his children. He wants to reveal who he is, and he wants us to realize who we are. He wants to reveal our full inheritance to us. Because friends, how many times in the New Testament does it speak about this inheritance that has been reserved for us? This inheritance that has been stored up for us. Because right from the beginning, friends, God knew Adam was going to do what he did. God knew what was going to bring forth the precious expression of the attributes of Jehovah. The plan, the mystery of redemption was going to unfold itself. But God has never changed his mind. This inheritance is for his children. And as we saw in Switzerland, how Satan became now the prince of the power of the air. That when Adam now forsook heavenly places, when Adam now was cast out of the garden, Eden was heaven on earth. There was such a unity, there was such a harmony on earth. But when sin came in now, Satan came in now. Satan is a squatter.
Hallelujah.
Satan has absolutely no legal right or authority.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Inheritance of the sons of God.
Amen.
And that's one thing you don't find realize, friends. Satan has absolutely no legal authority over God's inheritance.
Amen.
Because when the book was forsaken by Adam, it went back into the hands of God.
Hallelujah.
Satan couldn't touch it. It doesn't belong to him. It has nothing to do with him. The inheritance belongs to the sons.
Hallelujah.
And the Almighty took it back. He said, look, Adam, you loved your wife because of the greatness of your love. You took the sin upon yourself. You forsook the inheritance. You forsook the title deed. I'm taking it back to myself. And it went back into the hands of the rightful owner. Friend, that's a thought you need to meditate upon. Because whatever the devil's doing in your inheritance, he doesn't have any legal authority.
Amen.
He doesn't have any legal authority according to the word. But he takes advantage of our ignorance. He takes advantage because we don't fully know our rights. He knows that he's a bluff and he'll come and tell you, no, my friend. You're wasting your time praying for that. If God was going to answer you, he would have answered you long time. And then we listen to him. Instead of taking what God said. God never said when.
No.
He never said when he would answer you.
No.
He says, if you lay your hands upon the sick, they shall recover.
Amen.
Amen.
But the devil comes inside of them, wants to put a when.
Amen.
He wants to say, but that's taking longer than it should have. He says who? He knows the right time to manifest.
Amen.
And that's why the Bible says, like the unjust judge. We need to be praying like the unjust judge.
Amen.
We're going to the unjust judge. But Jesus says, will not the Most High answer to their glory suffers long with them?
Yes.
And sometimes you ask yourself, Lord, why do you sometimes take so long to answer God? Don't you see I'm having a hard time? And the Lord will be saying, my friend, I'm having a good time provoking the
truth. Amen.
The devil will do his utmost. And you'll still see you coming to your place. You worshipping the Lord, telling people about the Lord.
Amen.
And you understand that. And he lets the devil come again, like in the life of Job. And you continue to worship the Lord.
Amen.
You continue to serve the Lord.
Amen.
No matter what the devil does, you continue
Amen.
To serve the
Lord.
And that's a rebuke to the
Amen.
Devil. That's why the Lord was boasting about Job.
Job didn't know what was going on. No, Job just thought, hey, this is wonderful serving the Lord. I never knew you could have such a peaceful life like serving the Lord. I'm looking forward to my old age, looking forward to my pension, looking forward to my children having grown up surrounding me, seeing my grandchildren, my great grandchildren. Because that's not the plan of redemption.
Amen.
And when are those things moving? When there was a mystery being unveiled, a mystery being unfolded. At first, Job didn't understand what this mystery was. And that broke me in into a confusion. And the moment we get into a place and we don't understand, we don't have a revelation of redemption and the things that you're going through, it doesn't mean your mind's going to stop working. It doesn't mean your reasoning power is not going to speak to you. It doesn't mean your friends, the prophet says, is when the devil comes in, the prophet says, yeah? And you can't get that direct revelation from God. It says the devil moves into just about every friend that you've got.
Yes.
Good job. And everyone will be telling you a reason. It's because you sin against God. It's because of this. It's because of that. Yeah? And you know what made the difference in the book of Job? What's the revelation of
Amen. Amen.
I know my Redeemer.
Amen.
Because that revelation in his darkest hour when he was on the ash heap, when he didn't understand, God never came and explained to him why he took away his children, why it took place for his world. But God revealed one thing to him. You have a redeemer.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he will stand upon the earth, and in that body you shall see God.
Amen.
And for that delivered Job.
Thank you.
If only now I could take this. If I had an iron pen, and this could be engraved in a rock. For I know my redeemer.
Amen.
And he shall stand upon the earth.
Amen.
But it took time to watch and deliver that. And that's why in this mystery of redemption, God has sealed me.
Amen.
Another most powerful thing, the prophet so many times he had him saying, he said, if you had to choose a day to live, he said, if you could be given all the days right the way back.
Amen.
The patriarchs, right. Hallelujah. To the days of the prophets. Right,
yes, sir.
Nehemiah, Ezra, the restoration, all the way to the birth of Christ,
Amen.
All the way to the book of Acts 2. The early church, right the way through the dark ages, the missionary ages, Zeus' strength, the gifts of the Spirit, healing,
Hallelujah.
The prophet says, I will choose this time.
Amen. Go to me.
Amen.
Amen.
Choose this time.
Amen.
Amen.
And you and I will look out there and say,
Amen.
It's the darkest it's ever been. It's the most wicked of all the ages. It's Satan's Eden. It's the climax of the ages from him partaking of the tree of knowledge. One man partaking of knowledge, my friend. It's that book that's
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's what makes the difference.
Hallelujah.
Because that book has been in his hand, sealed with those seven seals all through those ages.
Amen.
This title deed, creation has been groaning. Groaning. The prophet says it knows it's not in its ought to be condition. Creation is groaning. It wants to express itself. It wants to break forth. It knows the potential that it has. But because the king fell, everything under his dominion fell with him. And then God took that title deed back. And now, the sign that God is going to give to show the time has come. Is when that person will open the seals. It's the opening of those seals. And friend, that is what the message brings.
Amen.
I love that somebody said in Switzerland, said, the message is the title.
Amen.
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 And that's true, friend.
Amen.
The revelation that's in the message, it's the title.
Hallelujah.
It's the restored title. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't realize that sometimes. But the revelation contained in this message that we present is the restoration of that title.
Amen.
If you and I, let's put it in another way, if you and I can eat the book,
Hallelujah.
We can eat the message, and we can catch by revelation.
Yes.
What's being said in those messages will be back to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the only thing that's delaying it. As John hasn't yet fully eaten the book.
Amen.
No, we haven't become one yet with that book. We
Amen.
Come to that. We've only got a partial realization. But friends, all the time, he knows how to unveil himself.
Amen.
But the great defining factor, we see in Revelation 5, the bridge, was the seven seals. There's so much in that book. Somebody was saying it to me way there as well, saying, that is the very vindication that the prophet is. Who he says that.
Amen.
It wasn't the healing revival.
Amen.
All of us could do the same things, a lot of the same things. It wasn't even the discernment. It wasn't the second pull. Those two phases of the ministry, they were powerful, but they never brought forth the manifestation of the sons of God. But it was the third book, which is the opening of the seals, the unveiling of the word. That now makes the message. That is the confirmation that the prophet is the one that the scripture says. That is the defining factor. There's many other ministries. There's other people can minister great things. People can minister words of comfort, many words of healing. People can help marriages to reconcile. People can minister people to divine healing, all which are good attributes. But friend, there's got to be something that comes forth to bring the sons and daughters of God to their full
image.
Amen.
And the proof that the message is that is the first fruits.
Amen.
The one who brought the message.
Amen.
We saw the manifestation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't thank you, Lord. Today, but I like the point they said. Adam had dominion over the atmosphere. I think it was too good. And so how do we know that Adam had dominion over the atmosphere? Because when the second Adam came, Jesus, he had dominion over
Amen.
The
atmosphere.
He could speak in this. And then he says, and it didn't stop there. We now had a redeemed son.
Amen.
Not the the only begotten of the Father, but now you have a redeemed son in our age. And God gives him dominion over the atmosphere.
Amen.
And friend, that's got to really mean something to the sons and daughters of God. Because you may not need today to speak to a storm out there, but I'm telling you, there's storms in your life.
Amen.
But there's atmospheres around us that need to be changed.
Amen.
Maybe there's an atmosphere in your home.
That's right, that's true.
Now, we need to realize our dominion that we have. That's our inheritance.
Amen.
That atmosphere doesn't have to stay like that.
That's right.
But it only comes, as we'll see, how is this book made known?
Amen.
It had to be revealed in its system.
Amen.
So our inheritance is given to us by revelation.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
How we receive our inheritance by revelation.
Amen.
When the seals are open.
Hallelujah.
When that which was hidden in those seals is revealed.
Amen.
And we can receive that revelation. What does it do to us? It reveals to us our inheritance.
Amen.
It reveals who we are.
Amen.
It reveals who the devil is.
Yes.
It reveals Christ to us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
It reveals who we are in Christ.
Amen.
It reveals the great purposes of God.
Amen.
That he has.
Thank you, Lord.
Friend, the only way you can possess your inheritance is by revelation.
Amen.
And the only way you can receive revelation is going to be
Amen.
To you.
Amen.
Those seals are going to be broken to the sons and daughters of God. And we have to receive the message.
Mm.
The prophecy of a seal also signifies a ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's true. Where would you be today if it wasn't for the opening of the seal?
Amen.
Because under each of those seals, in those first ages when there was the first seal, that seal was broken into the first ages. That anointing of the lion fell upon the early church. There was an anointing that came, and the revelation came under that seal as well of the white horse, the Antichrist, going forth to the sea. Yeah. That wasn't all that was under the seal. It was written under the seal. Every single one of the elect found themselves under that seal. The seal is a ministry. So when that ministry of Christ was released to the early church, all those people that caught that revelation in that age, they found their positions.
Amen.
There was a great ministry, the ministry of Christ through his messengers in those ages.
Amen.
And then you found the people now that were ordained unto life. When that seal was broken, the prophet says John rejoiced. Why? Because he saw his name under the seal.
Amen.
Amen. That makes all the difference.
Amen.
You've got to see yourself in
thank
the
you, Lord. Amen.
You've got to have a spiritual revelation to realize that. And then that now brings you to the place that
Amen.
You can find your ministry.
Amen.
But how can you find your place? I've said it many times. Unless you can first recognize your place.
Amen.
And your message.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't know the thoughts of God for this day, if you think we're still back in the missionary age, or you think we're still back in the Azusa Street, you're going to be seeking those things from Azusa Street. Mm. You're going to be seeking to do things that God blesses and those are good things to do. But God's purpose is focus. The place that is chosen to place His present tense anointing, His name, has moved those other promises in the world. And that has to be unsealed to you. Oh my, that's where we are. That's what these things
are.
God has got there. And then you find yourself.
Hallelujah.
That's the only way that you can serve God perfectly in your age. You're going to recognize your age. And you're going to recognize your message. And that only happens when that sin is broken.
Amen.
And there's that spiritual unveiling, that revelation that is broken to you. But sometimes, like we see in Revelation chapter 5, the Lord allows us to go sometime to certain needs or lack inside of our life to bring us to a certain place that we desire. No use in the title, He's taken away. In verse 2 of Revelation 5, it says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" So every one of the elect, the sons and daughters of God, they know there's something there.
Amen.
That book, something pertains to me, is in there. There's a deep in the book, and there's a deep inside of you. And you know that there's more. Now, this is good, but there's more. And John was in that situation. He was in a situation now that here's the book. Here's the inheritance. Here's the title deed. Here's God's purpose that He had for His sons and daughters in the beginning. It's God's got it in His right hand. And what else does He have in His right hand? What else does He have in His right hand? Does anyone know? No. He's got seven stars in His right
hand. Amen.
Revelation 1 verse 16 and verse 20. He's got seven stars in His right hand. So this inheritance, this type of deed, it's intimately linked together with those seven stars. Let's have a look for those that don't know the Bible. Revelation 1 verse 16.
Amen.
When Christ is in the midst of that, then the church ages, the seven golden candlesticks. Revelation 1 verse 16. And He had in His right hand seven stars.
Amen.
The same hand in which the book has the title.
Amen.
You're going to find the messengers there as well. So you're not going to be able to separate these two things together.
Hallelujah.
You're not going to get your inheritance unless you know your messenger. That's what it's meaning. God is going to anoint and use His angels, His messengers, to bring His people through the ages in part.
Amen.
But in our age, once the seals are open, it's the fullness of the
Amen.
And God used, look in verse 20. It says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels, the messengers of the seven churches. Now, friend, where would we be in time? How would you know where we are if you didn't know there were seven church angels?
Yes, sir.
That was the very first revelation in the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1960. The church age. If you don't place ourselves in the church age, if you don't realize that the scripture teaches us that God divided the Gentile dispensation into seven ages.
Amen.
If you don't even know that, it's very hard for you to know where you are in the covenant of God. What God is, who is God, what is His purpose. Now, you may know there's seven ages, but which of those ages are we in?
Yes.
You've got to catch that revelation.
Amen. Amen.
You've got to see we're right at the end. We're Laodicea. Lukewarm. You say you are rich and have need of nothing, but you know not that you're miserable. Wretched, poor, blind, and naked, and you know it not.
Amen.
That's the spiritual condition of Laodicea. But at the same time in that age, the seventh church age, there's a promise to the overcomer. He that overcomes will sit with me in my throne.
Amen.
Amen.
Even as I overcame and I'm seated with
my throne. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's our promise.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's our age.
Amen.
Now, you may know there's seven golden candles and seven church angels, You may know you in the seventh church age, but friends, that's not the end of it.
Yes.
There's seven stars in
Israel. Amen.
There's seven messengers. There's a messenger, angel,
amen,
directly sent to God to each of those ages.
Amen.
And what is the promise to our age? Mm. Our age is the clearest one of all of
them.
Apart from Paul to his age. Our age is told us. Malachi 4:5. Behold, I send you Elijah.
Hallelujah.
Before the great and dreadful day.
Yes.
And he shall return the hearts of the children back to the fathers.
Amen.
So we know there's going to be the return of the spirit of Elijah.
Amen.
You know, so just by piecing it together through the unveiling of the revelation of Jesus Christ, you started to narrow things down more and more and more.
Mm.
You started to recognize where you are. Mm. You started to recognize the conditions of your day.
Mm.
You started to see when the Lord says, I will spew you out of my mouth when you get lukewarm. You know, so if you're a believer, you're going to look at that and say, I don't want to be lukewarm in my life. When you see lukewarmness coming, and you're going to lay aside food and drink.
Mm.
And you're going to wait upon the Lord to renew your strength.
Amen.
You said you'd rather us be hot or cold.
Amen.
But the conditions of this day, worldliness has taken over the
Christian, hallelujah,
the Christian church. And there's a lukewarmness that's so easy to come.
Amen.
Because we're rich. We have need of nothing.
Amen.
We don't have to, like in certain places, pray for our next meal. No, we're not in places like Syria, not where the Christians are being martyred and massacred by the tens of thousands. Well, you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. You don't know if you and your family are going to be alive tomorrow.
Amen.
Friends, we're living in an easy time. You know, when you get down to your last few hundred in the bank, you think you're in trouble. There's a lot of people out there that wish they had even a tenth of that.
Amen.
But it's the age that we're living in. So we need to recognize that.
Amen.
Because the Lord has pointed out clearly to us to say this is a lukewarm age.
Amen.
He wants us to be hot or he wants us to be cold. But don't be lukewarm.
Amen.
Don't be just a Sunday kind of believer.
Know
that you just come to church Sunday and you worship the Lord, then the rest of the week, the kingdom of God is forgotten about.
My, my.
Friends, you are son or daughter of God. The kingdom of God burns inside of
you. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't have fellowship with believers, you're longing for fellowship.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the prophet says, if you don't feel inside of yourself that you want to be one of the first ones when the doors are open, he says, you need to get back to God.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, sir. When you first became a believer, you wanted to be in the house of
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to miss out on what's being
said. Amen.
Because you know, when I was in the disco, when I was down there in the clubs, when I was down there in my filth and my and the muck and mire, God was working on me. I need to catch up now.
Yeah, man.
To catch up on
me. Yeah, man.
That's right.
People were preaching these things before I was born.
Yes, sir.
People were preaching the church ages when I was in nursery school.
Mm.
And then you become a believer. No, I want to catch up on these things.
Right.
There's too many things stored
up. Yeah, man.
But friend, when you start losing that, be careful.
Because
that's the age of believing. When you start putting preeminence on our job, on our education, on other things. Now we have to give time to those things. But friend, we have to always seek first the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The moment we lose that desire inside us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, friend, you want a slippery slope. You want a slippery slope. Yeah, and the last thing that goes, remember about backsliding in heart. The Bible speaks about in Proverbs about the backsliding in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Backsliding starts in the heart. It doesn't start out with you. You may still come regularly, you may still do all the outward acts, but you backslid in your heart. Because the feeling is not the same. The zeal is not the same. The desire is not the same. You know, you may now be constrained in your life. You may have a lot of other things in your life that hold you back from doing the things you used to do when you were young and you were simple. But God doesn't worry about the outward, he looks at the desire.
Amen.
Like with David, when David said, can the Lord's, the ark of the Lord be under tents? And, you know, I live in a house like this. And the Lord says, no, 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 David.
No. You're not the one that's going to do it.
Amen.
Your son will do it.
Amen. But
God respected the desire.
Amen.
Amen.
He may not be able to do it, but this is a man after my own heart. Because he desires to do it.
Amen.
My friend, you may not be able to do everything you want, but God looks at the heart.
Amen.
God doesn't judge the way that man judges. God looks at your heart and he sees what
you
desire.
Amen.
You may not be able to unfold the desire the way that you desire, that you wish, because of the constraints of this age. But he sees your desire.
Amen.
And with the sons and daughters of God gather, and you don't desire to gather anymore.
My trouble.
That's backsliding in heart.
Amen.
That's backsliding.
Amen.
And like they say, grace inside of the soul of a person is like a flame.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a fire.
Amen.
And the fire can dim until it becomes, the prophet says, just endless. And that can happen in the life of a person, and yet outwardly, no one else will discern that's happening.
Amen.
Because we can still say the same thing. We can still sit there, we can still put our hands up in worship. We can still put on a message while we're driving in the car. But is that message doing to you now what it used to do?
Amen.
Do you listen the way that you used to listen? When you read your Bible, do you read your Bible the way you used to read your Bible? If you go and get your Bible, friend, when you were young, when you first got, I bet you some of those pages were tear stained. I bet you there were tear stains on some of the pages.
That's right.
Of the Bible, because those things were so real, they were so precious to you at that
time. Amen.
But now we can. It's really, if you're not disbelieving the Bible, really, but now it can become a duty. That you're reading something, and if somebody came to you after and said, brother, what did you read there? You're not even able to tell what you listened. Or you listen to a message, and I listened to a message, and I listened all the way to work and all the way back. I said, what did the Lord say to you? What did that message do to you?
Yes.
Because revelation has stimulation.
Amen.
Revelation is a divine visitation. You can never be the same after revelation.
Amen.
And if God visits you through his word, his anointed word, then he'll do something.
Amen.
You can never be the same.
Amen.
Our friends, let's not go and accept a level down there.
Amen.
No. It doesn't have to be like that.
Amen.
It doesn't have to. You'll say my circumstances have changed. Yes. All of our circumstances. That's why I think the Lord sometimes his expectation of the outward things we can do that matches our circumstances. He'll never ask you to do something that you can't do. But one thing that he wants, he says many times in the scriptures, he says, my son, give me your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, it's fine, give me your time, that's okay. But you can give me your time, but if you haven't given me your heart, it doesn't mean
that. Amen.
Friends, our hearts need to be in these things.
Hallelujah.
Our hearts aren't in them anymore. We need to come back, not by through condemnation, but to come back to the altar and say, Lord, something else has come in. Something else has come and is wooing my heart. Something else has come in and is fascinating me and taking my attention away from you. When my affection, that, in the Old Testament, Malachi, what did the Lord say to me? In Malachi 1, he says, Lord, come in to offer your sacrifice. He says, consider what you offer. He says, you're bringing me the lambs, the sheep, that have been a blemish, or that are blind. And he says, yet, when you pay your tax to the government, you never do that. You give them the best. Because they're going to examine it and they're going to say, Jay, my friend, why are you giving this to the governor? And the Lord says, you pay that tax to the king. He says, am I not a great king?
Amen.
Let's give the best of our
days.
Amen.
Don't give the best of your day to give the second best of your day to
that's right.
Give the best of your day to the
Amen.
And you young people, give the best of your life to the Lord.
Amen.
Remember, I have created the days of you before the evil day. When you will say, I have no pleasure in it. Oh, friends.
Amen.
This message is a wonderful thing if your heart is in it.
Thank you, Lord.
Because when your heart is in it, like the brother was joking, you'll read the message and you'll see the evil.
But when your heart isn't it, you read the message and you don't see the eagle no more, you see the chicken.
Yes.
So you'll see other things. It depends on what voice you
hear. Amen.
Your condition determines the voice that is spoken.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, when you really love the Lord and you love His word,
amen.
When the word comes forth, it's not a condemnation.
Amen.
But when lukewarmness comes in because of the goodness of God,
amen.
God will wage warfare against that backslider. Mm. He's not waging warfare against you.
No.
When you've set your heart on the wrong thing, when you've admitted something into the most holy place, which should be reserved just for you and Him, you expect God to be silent about that.
Amen.
He says, I'm a jealous God.
Amen.
He says, I'm a jealous God. So what does He do? He cries out against
it. Yes. Amen.
He wages warfare, spiritually speaking, against that aspect of your life.
Amen.
He's not waging warfare against you because He loves you.
Mm.
He's reserved good things for you, but He wages warfare against those kind of things.
Hallelujah.
And the way that it starts out, it starts off as words like it was with Israel. He'll send His prophets and preach to them and tell them, forsake these false gods. Stop making these alliances with these unbelievers. That's what He had cried. Why are you trying to be like the nations round and about you? And then when the people didn't hearken to the voice of the prophets, He started to work in their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
He started to bring hardship. He started to bring bondage upon them. And they were taken into captivity and chains. Now while they were down in Babylon, then you go and read it in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you find those people, their parents sinned against God. And God says, I'm going to put you in captivity for 70 years. And He put them in captivity because when they were in the promised land, and they looked across the river Jordan, they looked in Moab, and they saw Chemosh and the gods of the Moabites, they thought, oh my, those are these gods. Yeah? And then they looked up and they saw the Syrian gods and they thought, oh, look how great those gods are. So God said, okay, fine, that's what you want. So He sent the Moabites to come and sent the Syrians to come, took them captive, took them into Moab, took them into Syria. And then they saw what those gods really were.
Amen.
And then they saw people sacrificing children to the gods.
My might.
Then they saw the demonic devil worship associated with those gods.
Mm.
And friends, the people when they were there now, they were saying, hey,
amen.
If you'll just give me one more chance, I'll never pay attention.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And then the Lord said, wonderful. And then He restored the back of
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And from the Babylonian captivity, certain captivity, Israel's been guilty of many things, but they never worshipped idols again.
Hallelujah.
That totally purged them from their idols.
Amen.
And that's why you find it sometimes with the young people who grow up in the message. They get to their teenage years, 18, 19, 20 years, they start looking at those gods. They start looking at the musicians. They start looking at Hollywood, start looking at the fashions. They start looking at the nightlife. They start looking at the sins of the flesh. And they start saying, behold, that would be so nice. And my friend, if you think that long enough, what is the point? And He'll let you go. And then when you get down there in the nightclub, you realize it's not what you thought.
Amen.
When you get down there and you start getting addicted to nicotine, you start getting addicted to all manner of substances, when you start abusing yourself and your health starts to suffer, and you have all the mental problems that go with those things. And then you wonder, was this really worth it? And then you'll start to think and say, if you'll just give me one more chance, I'll make a
difference.
And so many believers, you find ministers in the message, you grow up in the message, they have to go through that.
Amen.
They have to go and find out for themselves that the gods of the nations are not gods, friends, they're devils.
Amen.
And the devil is a tormentor. And the devil doesn't have any good thoughts for us.
Yes, sir.
How he may dress sin up in the most beauty of bodies.
That's right.
In the most attractive of outward forms, but it's still the same dirty devil.
That's right.
With the same motive and the same agenda, that if he can just get a hold of her like once, put yourself in a situation.
Amen.
That you so esteem the things of the world. You so love things outside of the promised land.
Mm.
That the Lord will end up saying, okay, you go and have your time. Mm-hmm. Because friend, many people don't come back.
Mm.
Or many people when they come back, they're so scarred up from what they went through. They come back with complexes. They come back with all manner of baggage that they bring with them. And like that sister said to the prophet, which we haven't won in Ella, who was the one, Rosetta, when she looked at Sister Miriam then and she saw their complexion and she saw the way they were, because they had defiled themselves with alcohol and tobacco and the sins of the world. And then the Rosetta gripped at them and they came and said to them and said, well, we look at the complexion of these women. You'll age yourself beyond your years. Because sin has a heavy price. There's the wages of sin.
Amen.
In the world today. And God never created man to sin. You'll never be at rest in your sin because God hasn't appointed that person for that. You'll never be. You'll be putting your fingers in your ears, running away from God. That's the most foolish thing. We have a children's cartoon sometimes, beginner's Bible of Jonah. And it's really funny. It's like good for the young children. And Jonah comes running into this his friend's shop and he says, could you hide me away? He says, I'm hiding away from God. And he says, but you can't hide from God.
Says, yes.
Okay, maybe if I get in a boat and I sail to Tarshish, I can hide from God. And Jonah thinks he's going to have rest. Yeah. He thinks all is going to be well, but you can't tell me that inside of his soul he didn't.
Amen.
Yes.
Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go.
Amen.
And it'll keep you there longer than you ever wanted to stay. And it'll make you pay a price far greater than you ever expected to pay. Sin is cruel.
Amen.
If you want to know how cruel sin is, the prophet said, take a trip to God.
Amen.
He says, if you want to see the cruelty of sin, if you want to see the real character and nature of sin, you don't see it in the adverts in the magazine. That's not when they put those models there, advertising cigarettes or advertising all the sins on the flesh. That's not how you identify what sin is. You go to kill them.
Amen.
The prophet says, and you think to yourself, who this is.
Amen.
He says, consider who he was.
Amen.
The virgin born son. He says, and consider what sin did to him.
Amen. Yes.
But our sin was born. And go and see him agonizing in God. Go and see him under such a depression and anguish of spirit that he almost felt he was going to die in the garden during this conflict. And don't stop there. Go and put him on the whipping post. And let the Roman soldiers take the cut of nine tails with the pieces of bone and the pieces of metal in those leather thongs. And they lashed him until his ribs showed through the flesh. They plowed up his back as a field. And he lost so much blood, he staggered from it. That's what sin is, friend. That's the consequences, and don't stop there. Take him to Golgotha. Take him to the nails in the hands and the feet. Right through here with his the nerves. Yeah? Imagine the agony those nails through the hands and through the feet. And then they're raising him up, jarring the cross down. And he's hanging on his feet and on his chest. And then there's a divine judgment against sin. When it goes dark in the midst of the day, and God veils it from humanity and says, this is nothing to do that you can partake of. This is my covenant that I'm establishing, my grace covenant. And in God's wrath, God's justice struck him on the cross. And the only perfect one there ever was. His heart was full of love. He went around doing good. There was no malice, no guile, nothing that he should have been judged for. But Jehovah smote him.
My.
And Isaiah 53 says, it pleased the Lord to
bruise
his blood. And there he is screaming, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now you're starting to see what sin is. Now you're starting to see the consequences of sin. Now you start seeing, if you allow sin to continue to unfold itself, look at where sin leads to. Sin leads to separation, my friend.
Amen.
It leads to separation from God.
Hallelujah.
If you haven't repented of a sin today, you separated from God.
Amen.
God is not with you.
Amen.
You might have had emotion, you may have all managed, but that's got nothing to do with
right.
it. But if you've got even one sin that's not under the blood,
Amen.
God cannot bless you.
Yes, sir.
You've got to put that sin. God has to
bless you.
Amen.
Oh, but the prophet that day went into the cafe and he walks in the door. And he's been eating at the Dunkin' restaurant all the Christians are. And now he comes down to real life once again. It's closed on the Sunday, whatever it was. And the prophet comes into this little cafe, little roadhouse. And now he starts to see what sin is. And here's the policeman playing the slot machine, the law, breaking the law. And here's a young girl and her sleeve is right down over her shoulder. She's showing her body and boys are embracing. And there's someone smoking a cigarette and he has people drinking alcohol. And the prophet starts to think, but God, how can you stand it? Does it mean my little girls have to grow up in something like this? Why don't you just wipe it away and start something new? And it culminates and he sees this old lady sitting with her hair colored pink, whatever that it was, sitting and drinking and smoking with these boy men dressed up in their like army tunic, old men. And then the Lord speaks to me and says, my friend, I need to speak.
Amen.
And he takes the prophet behind the door. And then he shows him a vision, and the vision breaks, and here's the hour. The great curvature of the earth. And then he sees like a red mist, something all around the earth. And he wonders what it is. And then he starts seeing it's the blood.
Amen. Amen.
And then he sees himself on the earth. And he sees himself sinning. He sees himself saying things that are wrong, doing things that are wrong, thinking things that are wrong. And he says, and every time I sinned, my sin went up as a dark shadow. And if that dark shadow had have reached the throne, I would have perished.
Amen.
He says, because the Lord says, the day you sin, the day you eat thereof, that day you die.
Yes.
And the wages of sin. He says, but as I saw that dark shadow of my sin going up, just about to reach the throne, there was the blood.
Amen.
The blood. Yeah, but when it struck the blood, there was the Lamb himself on the altar.
Yeah.
The blood come down from the wounds of the crown of thorns and the bleeding side. And when now my sin struck the blood, it shook it.
Amen.
It was painful. And he would say, Father, forgive it.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, and then I looked, and then I said, oh, Jesus, if you'll just forgive me.
Amen.
I didn't know that my sins did that to you.
Amen.
He says, and Jesus took his finger and put it in his side, and he took the book off, and had all my sins and my iniquities, and he wrote, pardon. And he threw it in the sea of his forgetfulness, and then he turned back to me and says, but you were condemning her. I haven't condemned you.
Amen.
And when the prophet comes out of the vision, he walks to the bed and he says, excuse me, sister, can I sit down again? She says, I already have company. And he says, no, I don't mean it like that. And then he sits down and starts speaking, and she starts saying, I'm a bastard and Methodist. I really grew up doing these things. Things started going wrong inside of my life. And I heard you were having a meeting down there, and I was thinking to come down to the meeting, but you think God would ever accept me? And the prophet says, that's why you bring me the vision.
Amen.
He's accepted you.
Amen.
Amen.
And the prophet says, we got down there in that place and we had a prayer meeting.
Amen.
And she started to pray and she made her life right with God. And then the policeman put away his beer and he came down on one knee. And all the rest of the people started to bow.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Sin is an evil thing, but God's grace.
Amen.
Reaches right
amen.
Out to
amen.
Like Brother Tim was preaching about when heaven, the day when heaven was opened. Now God opens heaven.
Amen.
And he sends heaven down and intervenes in the affairs of people.
Amen.
And friends, we are the witnesses of
amen.
Amen. Amen.
But let's appreciate what he's done.
Amen.
So, friends, we'll see it again next time. But that book that's in his hand. Oh, friend, that's the result.
Amen.
It's only the Lamb that can
do this.
And that Lamb, he paid the supreme price.
Amen.
And he can come and take that book to restore that
amen.
And we already have the earnest of our inheritance. We already have the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Us, which has transformed us.
Hallelujah.
He's changed the atmosphere.
Thank you, Lord.
He's taken his throne already. Oh, friends, there's wonderful things in store for the Son.
Amen. Amen.
But in this kind of a season, don't heed or hearken to the voice of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He'll try to offer you alternatives, try to offer you other things, but every word he says is a lie.
Amen. That's right.
What truth he may say, a lot of things, but his agenda, his motive and his objective, nothing that he says is pure.
Amen.
But the word of God is pure.
Amen.
And his thoughts towards us are pure.
Amen.
He says, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. That's what the Lord says.
Amen.
The same palms that were wounded for us. He says, I've engraved your name in my palms. That although the inheritance, the title deed went back to the throne, God will never lose one of his children.
Amen. Amen.
Never lose one. Jesus said, Father, all them that you've given me, I lose them.
Amen.
Amen.
I will ask and save the son of perdition.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In due season, in his time and his season, God will unveil you.
Amen.
And you will see your name under the seal.
Amen.
You'll see your day. You'll recognize your message. You'll see your messenger. You'll catch a revelation of your message.
Amen.
You'll find your place. And you'll be.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing that song. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim.
Amen.
You know, it's a wonderful thing when you come into his house. It gives you a chance to proclaim it.
Amen.
You may have been caught up in this and that during the week, but now is your chance to proclaim it.
Amen.
Proclaim
Amen.
It to the Lord
Amen.
That you're redeemed in your love.
Amen.
Proclaim it to the devil as well.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you do, Satan.
Amen.
I'm redeemed.
Amen.
And proclaim it. And proclaim it to yourself.
Amen.
And say, I am the redeemed.
Amen.
The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
So let's say so as we go.
Amen.
Yeah.
He wasn't appeared to him. Somebody came and appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him and said, it's later than you think. And he went, he wasn't a Christian, one of the prophet's relatives. And he went and he told his wife, he said, Jesus just appeared to me.
Mm.
And he told me it's later than I think. But he never did anything about it.
Mm.
He never went to try to find out how he could be ready for whatever it was that it was later than he thought. And the next thing, I was lying crippled, unconscious there in the hospital bed with a stroke. And then his wife came to the prophet and said, Uncle, whatever his, Uncle Andy, whatever his name was, then Jesus appeared to him and said, it's later than you think. He said, the prophet says, you did wrong. You should have told me. You should have told somebody that somebody could have come and shown him how to prepare for this time. Oh, friends, it's important to make a preparation. That's why God sends prophets. That's why he sends messengers before the event. Because he wants to prepare his people.
Amen.
It's later than you think. Let's sing that song. These the closing days of time. He's coming soon, friends. He's coming.
He shall reign.
The psalm says, comfort one another with this word. Now we need to focus on the people that don't find comfort in this world. Those that are without Christ. Those that are still in their sin. I'll just tell you a small little story about a man. He was a young boy. We all know I'm speaking about a prophet. And he was walking down a road with his friend. And his friend had a loaded rifle. And his friend stumbled and fell and accidentally shot this young boy through his two legs. And he was losing so much blood. And they took him to the hospital. It was in those early days when they never had good anesthetic and so forth. And he lay there. And those pellets from that shotgun were lying so close to his artery. And he lost so much blood that the doctor said to the parents of this young boy, he said, he's okay now, he's lost a lot of blood, but if one of those pellets touches that artery, he's going to bleed to death. And that night, he woke up and he felt around him and he was lying in a pool of blood. And he found himself getting weaker and weaker. And as the nurses came and as the doctors came and as all the people that he loved came around him to try to give him comfort, to try to help him in that situation, friend, there comes a situation in your life no man can help you.
Amen.
There comes a situation in your life, and no matter how much other people love you, your parents love you, the doctors, the nurses, your friends, but they can't help you in that situation. And he started getting weaker and weaker, and the doctor says, we're losing him. And then the prophet says he just went into this place and he was falling down through these like clouds, going down. And he says, and I came into a place. This is a region. He says, words cannot explain the horror of that place. He says, it's like having your worst nightmare. And you want him to wake up, but you can't wake up anymore. You're in that realm. And he says, and the first thing I realized when I went down into that realm, because my time on earth had seemed it was past, he said, I realized there was no God there. He said, I cried out, God. He says, the only thing I could say in my defense was, God, I never committed adultery. That's the only thing he could say. He says, but there was no God there. He said, I cried out for my mother. I said, Mommy, help me. And there was no mother.
Amen.
He says, words can explain the devil torment of that place. He says, when on the message, said, if you are listening to this tape now and your life isn't right with Christ, stop the tape.
Amen.
Don't go any further. Set your life right with Jesus now.
Amen.
He says, woe be it that any mortal should have to go into that place.
Amen.
And friend, the Bible speaks of that place from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's the regions of the lost. Your body will go in the grave, but your soul doesn't go into the grave. Your soul goes into the regions of the lost. If you're not one of the redeemed, if your sins haven't yet been atoned for, and you die today, that's your inheritance. And there's no way back. But to him, he was predestined, and he cried out, and God brought him back. So that he could be a witness and evangelist of those things. But imagine today, even as we speak now, there's people entering into that realm and there's no escape. And so many of those people that would have had an opportunity to stand in the presence of God. And the Lord, the Spirit of God, would have been persuading them and dealing with their hearts and telling them, forsake your sin, give your life into my hands. I loved you, I died for you. And they resisted the Spirit of God. They put it off to a better occasion. And they didn't realize that it was going to be a better occasion. My friend, let's sing one more song. But you consider your ways. Let's sing the song. What will you give in exchange for your soul? You may be giving all your strength to education. That's good. But my friend, if you heard of Jesus, that education is not going to help you in that place. You may be giving all your strength to worldly pleasure, to the sins of the flesh, to building up a reputation in your neighborhood amongst all the young people at your college or school. My friend, on that day when you're lying on that bed and you realize now that your last breath is near, or you're lying in a car wreck and you're breathing your last, none of those things are going to help you. None of those things mean anything. The only thing that has value that you have here today is your soul. And Jesus shed his blood to redeem that soul. He paid the price for your soul. And all he wants you to do is come and lay at his feet and confess your sins and say, Jesus, the greatness
Amen.
Of him. And I repent of my past.
Amen.
Jesus, won't you wash me so that I can also sing the song of the Lord. Let's sing the song of the Lord.
Father, far from the Savior today, risking your soul for the things I decay. For if today one should call it away, what would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you give?
Damascus Road and forgave him of all of his sins and his iniquities. Or the woman at the well for all the people that Jesus made. So today is your opportunity. Don't be friends with the devil. Don't listen to his lies. Don't make alliances with darkness and evil. You don't know the end of things. You don't know how many days more you've got. But the greatest thing that you can do is throw your entire lot in with Jesus.
Amen.
Is throw your soul at his feet and ask for his mercy. Give your life in Jesus. Does anybody wants to do that today? Raise up your hand and say, Jesus, today I'm accepting you. I'm seeing you on the cross. I'm seeing your blood that was shed. I'm seeing you looking at me, Jesus, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Jesus, I'm accepting the pardon. I'm accepting, Lord, I'm going to go, I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to go and make the things right that I need to do. But first, Jesus, I need to accept your grace as Lord. Wash me.
Yes, Lord.
May the Lord have mercy on each and every one and bless you. Anybody else has a need to do? Maybe you have a need in your body. And you're saying, Jesus, won't you just break that seal open to me? Won't you, Lord, just release that anointing, Lord, to set me free from this situation? Maybe there's a decision that you're needing to make. Our friend is the same one who walked them on the way to Emmaus.
Amen.
He's the same one who got into the midst of their situation when they were confused. And he made everything clear when he spoke to them and broke bread with them. He's the same one that will do it for you. Whatever you need, why don't you raise your hand as we close in with it. Heavenly Father, we come unto thee.
Amen.
Every single one of us is needing people.
Amen.
Firstly, Lord, I want to pray for them that, Lord, have raised their hands because they desire you.
Yes.
I'm asking of you, Jesus, even as you see the desire in their heart, knowing, Lord, that, Father, if there's a sincerity inside of their hearts, oh, Jesus, the transaction is already done.
Yes, Lord.
Surely, Lord, you've already met them in their point of need, Lord.
Amen.
Surely, Lord, you've seen the cry of their heart.
Hallelujah.
You've seen the remorse. You've seen their sorrow. Lord, your blood is more than enough.
Yes.
Amen. Father, to them that have need of physical healing, Lord, unveil that, Lord.
Amen.
Release, Lord, that inspiration, that anointing to speak inside of the souls of your people to say it is finished.
Oh, yes.
And it will be finished, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, to any other need that you have upon this day, financial need, Lord, you have promised to bless you.
Amen.
Father, you are faithful to your promise. Father, you are Jehovah Jireh, Lord. We speak your blessing into those situations upon us. Father, you are Jehovah Shalom, where there's a need for peace.
Amen.
Father, where there's a need for rest, Lord, where there's a storm in somebody's soul, a storm in somebody's life.
Yes, Lord.
I just pray, Lord, that you reveal yourself as the master of those situations.
Amen.
I just pray that you'll change that situation, change those circumstances.
Amen.
Whatever the situation they would be upon this
day,
Father, we just come in your precious name.
Yes.
Father, you have given unto us dominion.
Amen.
Over all the powers of earth. Father, we know he's a liar. We know that he has no
power.
We know he has no power over us.
Amen.
He has no authority over us.
Amen.
And we stand in proclaimance upon
him. Yes.
Amen.
Father, Lord, we resist him. That's all we know. Lord Jesus, you have prevailed and you have overcome.
Yes. Amen.
You have conquered him, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, now we resist him in the name of Lord
Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, no matter what he says to us, you speak your word.
Amen.
Because you know he's a liar and he's the Father of lies. So bless your people upon us.
Amen.
Lord, as you go from your house, watch over
us.
Father, keep us safe along the way.
Amen.
Father, bless us in our fellowship one with
another. Amen.
Lord, be with us in our homes and our cars. Be with us in our colleges and our
schools. Amen.
Be with the mothers as the iron at the ironing board.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord. Be with them as they wash. Be with them as they look after their children.
Amen.
Father, be with our children. We pray as they go to school. Lord, may you do something to them, Lord. That
yes.
No matter what the devil does, he won't be able to take it
out. Amen.
Amen.
Father, as we dismiss, we desire to dismiss with your blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, keep us up and you bring us back on Wednesday and Friday.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless those that have traveled, Father. Bless them that have traveled to come today.
Amen.
Lord, give them a special blessing.
Amen.
So thank you for your goodness. In Jesus'
name. Amen.
There's just one announcement. This is the first Friday coming up of the month. So we have our day once again of consecration on Friday, special prayer meeting Friday evening. So really inviting everybody to come. Let's come and humble ourselves. Let's come and bring ourselves before the Lord on Friday. And let the Lord bless you as we discuss in Jesus' name. Let's sing one
another.
I heard of Christians long ago. They were broke before, but tyrants strove. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of the Lord. But one by one, they chose to die for the Son of God.
I pledge allegiance.
today.